following is a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.
Well, good morning again. Welcome to Emmanuel Covenant Church. My name is Eric Hedberg, and I have the privilege and the joy of being the pastor here at Emmanuel. And I'm glad that you're here worshiping with us this morning. Last week, we watched a video together. And it was a video put together by a man named Matt Canlis. I'm going to pronounce it Canlis. It could be Canlee. I don't know. It's L-I-S. So probably depends on if you're from the U.S. or from Canada or where in Canada you're from and how you pronounce it. I'm going to say Canlis. And he brought us on a journey. He brought us on a journey to explore what ministry is, what church is, what community is, and what our roles are in each of those things. We met some world-famous authors, professors, theologians, faith leaders, and then we met some other folks who hadn't much left their tiny town of Methlick. And all of these folks taught Matt and us what it means to be in community, what it means to be a part of something in a real and an authentic way, and in a way that honors God. One of the things that Matt references as he is talking about the differences in life between the cities he is used to and the small towns and villages he found himself a part of in Scotland is this idea of pace, the pace of life. In talking with his great red-haired friend, Matt was struck anew by the pace at which Jesus traveled around Galilee, around Palestine. The simple pace of walking, 3 miles an hour, or roughly 5 kilometers an hour. I had to plug that into Google to get it right. He even mentions a book, 3 Mile Per Hour God, that dives deeper into this idea. And that really jumped out at me, watching it last week and even when I had watched it previously, because that I imagine, like many of you, I'm used to a whole lot faster pace than that. To be frank, the idea of moving at 3 miles per hour really makes me uncomfortable. I do not like thinking about going that slow. Even if I'm going that slow through the Nexus lane, it drives me nuts. Like, that's just really slow. It makes me antsy. It makes me frustrated. But there is something really profound about remembering that this is the pace that Jesus traveled with his disciples. That he walked from town to town, from village to village, and he spent real time with people. He was known by people, intimately known. The towns and the villages he visited were small, Methlick type small. And so Jesus couldn't avoid being known in these places. He really couldn't avoid being known anywhere he traveled. He was recognized everywhere. Our world here in Surrey is very different. It is easy to go about our daily lives and be anonymous, right? We can just blend in, unless we are making an effort to stand out. Technology makes this even more possible. You could go in and get your Starbucks coffee. You could buy groceries. You could go to the gym without having to speak to anybody, without being recognized. And even in some of those places where we are recognized, I'm not sure if we're really known. I love the fact that they know my drink at Starbucks. And the couple who know my drink also know that I'm a pastor, but not a whole lot more than that. So I'm not sure that even if we're recognized, we're really known. But if we're going to have any impact on the world around us, if we're really going to serve God in our neighborhood, in our community, in our city, in our world, we have to make ourselves open to being known, and to make every effort to really know those who we encounter. And the other thing that I was really struck by in watching this movie, this film, Godspeed, was my place as a part of humanity. And it summed up best for me, and this probably will not be the last of a long line of Howard Thurman quotes because I'm reading his book, The Mood of Christmas and Other Celebrations. So you're going to get Howard Thurmond out, but I don't know if you really can ever get Howard Thurmond out because the stuff he says is just so good. But it's best summed up for me by just a paragraph in the preface of this book of his. He said, "We affirm our solidarity with the whole human race in its long struggle to become humane and to reveal the divinity in which all humankind shares. Therefore, when we build our creche," we know that word now, thanks to Gwen, "prepare our festive meal, share our gifts as a celebration of the privacy and the universality of love, take the time to remember in many ways those who touched us in the midst of the traffic of the commonplace, and sing the ancient carols in honor of the birth of him who is a sign. When we do these things, we show that God has not left himself without specific witness to his love and to his care of us as his children. To the strong and weak, to the happy and the sorrowful, to the barren and fruitful womb, to the devout believer and the arrogant unbeliever, to the Christian and the non-Christian, there is ever present hope that tidings of great joy will find their way into the heart and life." At Christmas time, in a way unlike any other time of year, we affirm the way we are human. We affirm our need for a Savior, just as much as our neighbor needs a Savior, just as much as our enemies need a Savior. I need a Savior as much as you do, as much as anyone does. And at Christmas especially, we are visibly reminded of that as Christ came to be our Savior. And so I wonder what it would look like for us to explore our shared need for a Savior in a way that we allow ourselves to really be known. To be known by one another and to be known by those in our various communities. And in turn, to take the time and to make the space to really know others in our community, seeing them as people who need a Savior, just as you and I need a Savior. And so with that in mind, it's important that we practice this together, in this community, this idea of being known. And so, much to probably several of your chagrin, as part of the sermon time over the next several weeks, so 5 out of the next 6 weeks, you'll have a one-week break when I'm away for midwinter and Bill Gardner is here preaching. We're going to have some time in the sermon time for intentional personal reflection and discussion in groups of 2s and 3s. And we'll get into this discussion time a little bit later today. And it will be kind of a mix of what we watched last week and some of our theme for this week. Each week throughout this series, we're going to look at scripture passages. We're going to hear an anecdote from the town of Methlic. And we're going to hear some thoughts on the theme for the week. And then there will be this time for reflection and discussion and ending in prayer. I get that this is going to be challenging. I get that this is going to be uncomfortable. I get that next week you may sit next to different people, and that's okay. But the idea is to risk allowing yourself to be known and to do the work to get to know those around you. It's not a ton of time, but it's a beginning. We're going to be looking at 7 themes over these 5 weeks. We'll be looking at presence, identity, names, pace, stability, mission, and for this morning, we're going to be looking at the theme of place. These are simple, yet profoundly important themes as we seek to understand ourselves as beloved children of God, and as we seek to understand where we are and the people around us. So, as we continue this morning, let me pray, and we can look at this idea of place. Heavenly Father, as we move from the Christmas season into the beginning of a new calendar year, we seek your presence. We trust that you will speak to us through your word and through the Holy Spirit. Be with us this morning, Lord, and help us to hear what you need us to hear. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to have two scripture readings this morning. The first is Genesis 2:15 and then 3:8 and 9. And then the second reading will be in Acts 17, verses 24 to 28. If you don't have a Bible and would like one, feel free to raise your hand and Dave would be happy to bring you one. So Genesis 2:15. The Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. And then skipping over to 3:8 and 9. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God, among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And then into Acts 17, verses 24 to 28. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man he made all the nations, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. God did this so that they would seek him, and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far away from any one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. In Genesis, in our verse from Genesis 2, God puts Adam in a specific place, in the Garden of Eden, and he tells him to take care of it. In Genesis 3, God asks a simple, yet a very important question of Adam and Eve. Where are you? Where are you? And this question, where are you, is the core of what we're looking at this morning, this idea of place. And Acts 17 picks up on that theme and develops it even a little bit further. Verse 26 says, God marked out all their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. When I hear the question, where are you, I tend to think of that in a pretty basic way. One of my favorite TV shows, a police sergeant makes that one of the first things everyone who works for him be able to answer, regardless of what kind of situation they're in. Where are you? Maybe, Dave, Wayne, that's something that's just like a common thing for police officers. Yeah? No? Maybe? No. Dave has no idea where he is. But being able to say something like, I'm on the eastern end of the first floor of the building at 17029 16th Avenue, like that specific place, like geographical location, is important. That's what I tend to think about if someone asks me, where are you? But in Acts, we read that the question of where are you needs to extend beyond current physical location to include time, to include culture, to include community, to include our spiritual health. Our place is in all of these things. Our place incorporates all of these ideas. And getting to know our place means putting in the time to understand these different facets. Our anecdote for this morning, which was written by Julie Canlis, Matt's wife, goes like this. She writes, when we arrived in Methlick for an interview, we were surprised that we were not taken into the beautiful stone church, but instead we were bundled up into the back of Colin Presley's car. Colin passed a map over his shoulder as he pointed out houses, people, histories, crops. Slowly, it dawned on us that we were being introduced to the stories of the people and places that would become our vocation. like a farmer getting a lay of the land. The question he was asking was not, can you do the job, but can you work with this place and these people, here and nowhere else? Although we were surrounded by the greenest grass I had ever seen, Colin was not presenting us with greener pastures. He was presenting us with something we could not manipulate. The boundaries were clear. They had been laid down ages before. And the call was equally clear: to forsake anonymity or hiding behind job description in favor of knowing and being known. We were being asked to enter into the parish in front of us with the boundaries that came with it. Colin was inviting us to embrace the boundaries and to let them point us to a feast that would nourish us, and to let them save us from the fantasy life we could dream up for ourselves, by ourselves. Colin was inviting us to let these boundaries focus us and to set us free. We live in a world where we are told by commercials, by TV shows, by friends, that there are no boundaries, that we are capable of going anywhere, of doing anything. Certainly, there are more opportunities for that than at any point in history. Right? We can communicate effortlessly between continents. We have translators at our fingertips. And a lot of those things are great, like really helpful, important tools. But there is risk there as well. Risk in not recognizing the importance of boundaries. Boundaries that set us free to do the work that God calls us to right here, where God has put us. Eugene Peterson has a very simple quote that says, "All discipleship is local. All discipleship is local. To disciple others well means knowing our place. It means knowing our physical location as well as our location in time, in history, in culture, and even our spiritual location. All discipleship is local." We're going to transition to the time that you're all really, really thrilled about. So on one side of the sheet that's either on your chair or the one next to you or somewhere near you, there are four questions from the Godspeed video. And then on the other side are 3-4 questions specifically about this idea of place. And so I'd invite you to read through these questions, to take some time to reflect on them yourself, jot down some things if you have a pen, and then I'll transition us into a time to reflect with one or two people seated around us. Okay? All right, I will encourage you to gather with one or two people seated near you, and I don't expect that you're going to be able to discuss through all of these questions, but maybe pick one or two that stood out or that that really made you think or that you feel challenged by, and share those things. Remember, the goal, the hope in this is to risk being known. Well, I'm going to interrupt what looks like some really good conversation. I hear lots of conversation happening and chairs turned and interested folks. And so I would encourage you to continue this reflection, to continue this conversation, to make this something that flows out into the foyer afterwards, that, you know, perhaps even is something that you get together with someone over coffee over throughout the week. Because I think these are really great questions, and I think they're important questions for us to to better understand ourselves, to better understand our community, and to better understand one another, which is an important step. Let me pray. Dear Lord, we recognize that you have put each of us here in this moment, in this place, for a purpose. Help us, God, to live and to know and to understand where we are, geographically, historically, culturally, and spiritually, so that we are better able to fulfill your call on each of us to make disciples. And we pray this in the name of your Son, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Emmanuel Covenant Church, located in South Surrey, British Columbia. To learn more, please visit us online at emmanuelcovenant.ca.